May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building, the calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
Our first scripture lesson this morning is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading today is from John chapter 15 and 16. In these verses, Jesus is preparing his disciples for his death and what will come after, and describes an advocate who will come. The Greek word here is paraclete, translated here as advocate, in other translations as helper or comforter or guide. We count this description of an advocate as a
description of the Holy Spirit. So on this day of Pentecost, as I read these verses, I invite you to listen for the word of God. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. But I have said these things to you so that when the hour comes, you may remember that I told you about them. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? O Holy Spirit, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. I love that our Pentecost worship already included dance, a growing assembly of dancers who were joining the movement. Pentecost is a day of a growing movement, of the Holy Spirit's call to unite us, to help us see that we are one, and to help us learn how to live. It's a day when we celebrate the diversity that's a part of this world and all creation, and also our human community, as on that first day of Pentecost, as told in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit gave the ability for everyone to hear in their own language. Pentecost always invites me to recall my own experiences of being immersed in a place where people were speaking other languages. Perhaps no specific moment has been a more full experience of the overwhelming and disorienting feeling of being immersed in people speaking other languages around than what happened when I was a senior in college studying abroad in the West African country of Niger, in the capital city of Niamey, on an English club picnic. It shouldn't have surprised me because I was in the French club in high school in North Platte, Nebraska. And when we went on field trips, we mostly spoke English, even though we were the French club. I made a friend in my first month of studying abroad, another expat from U.S. America who was working for the U.S. Embassy at the American Cultural Center and helping organize programming for young people to learn about American culture. She was an organizer of the English club and got me an invite on the English club picnic. And so, one Saturday, we loaded up into a van, the sort of van that in my childhood was a 15-passenger van, except that this one had two bench seats down the sides of the van instead of rows, and we fit way more than 15 people into that van. Now, it's a strange thing to be immersed in people speaking another language rapidly around you. It's a next level, at least for me, to be in a vehicle that felt very overcrowded, with people speaking in that kind of familiar way you do with your friends when you're on a road trip adventure. I just remember feeling sort of lost and out of place. Everyone else was Nigerian. They were all speaking in a mix of Zarma, the local language, and French, and the conversations were flying. It was a fun feeling, but very disorienting. I remember when this happened because it was that day in early September of 1997 when Princess Di's funeral was happening. And it was on the radio in this crowded 15-passenger van playing as a strange soundtrack underneath the noise in the van. Occasionally, it would begin in English, but then it was overdubbed into French because it was a French-speaking country. So I would catch a few words that felt familiar, and in a sort of place of dislocation, a few words felt like an anchor, a few words I knew, and then they would be covered over with French, which I was meaning to be learning, but slow to get fluent at. As we were riding along in the van, the funeral continued to play on the radio, and then we got to that place where Elton John began to sing his rewrite of that Candle in the Wind song, and the overdubbing stopped. And it was just Elton John singing this beautiful and evocative song that was a heart connection before this moment, but had new poignancy. I wasn't even particularly enamored with Princess Di, but in that moment, I felt the emotional significance of this global occasion where music was uniting us all. The van grew suddenly quiet, and I thought, is this a... I wouldn't have called it this yet because I wasn't yet a preacher. Is this a Pentecost moment where we're all listening in this common language? And it must have been maybe 10 seconds of silence in the van just listening to the radio before someone said something else. And it became clear to me that what I was experiencing as an emotional moment of global togetherness was just a pause in conversation, perhaps triggered by the music or something else, but it wasn't exactly what I thought, which left me feeling even more dislocated. I was so hungry for a moment of global togetherness, a moment of location, a moment of belonging and understanding what was happening. And in that moment, I felt lonely and alone in a strange way. As I look back on that moment many years later, I think about what a gift it was to be invited along on that journey. And all of the moments of that day, the excursion in the van, the picnic out on the edge of the river, the short and stilted conversations in the language that we were able to speak with each other, both in English and in French, they were a gift. Not in the transcendent moment of sudden, instantaneous translation, but in the human way that connection to each other is built in a more gradual process, in a long commitment to sitting together in discomfort and trying to understand and listen to each other. From this place, well more than 20 years later, I'm able to see the ways that that experience shaped and reshaped me as a person willing to trust and abide in situations where I feel like I'm the outsider, where I don't yet know how to speak the language, when I haven't learned all of the usual ways to belong and to participate, when I don't seem to fit in. It's a gift to be able to have those experiences, to be able to travel and encounter and get to experience the life of another people, another language group, another place that's unfamiliar. And it requires that discomfort, that dislocation, that disorientation. There's so many things about that day as I look back on them that felt really familiar, though. We took the van to a picnic spot on the edge of the river where we had food and built a campfire and talked as humans. It felt very much at home for me, the kind of thing I might have done with friends in Nebraska, friends from college, not in the city, but perhaps on a trip out of town, kind of human connection that happens over breaking bread and sharing life. What a gift it is to be reminded that we, before, through, and after it all, belong to one another. I can't know how my life would be different if I hadn't gone on that picnic trip. But I also know it wasn't a singular occasion. I'm so grateful for all of the ways that my family and my church and my school gave me opportunities to get beyond the small realm that I knew as familiar to experience a something more. It feels to me like that's also the hard and beautiful work of Pentecost. Not that it just comes immediately, instantaneously, as a gift that changes us forever and we have nothing left to figure out, but with awareness that moments of transcendence give us courage to persist in the ongoing and hard work of learning how to live together, of learning how to navigate things that are new and uncomfortable, things we're not good at because we have never done them before, in order to connect and belong and honor the beauty of the diversity of God's creation, human and beyond. In retrospect, it was after I came home from a semester abroad that I felt most dislocated. Returning back to a place I thought was familiar, but as a person who'd experienced a new thing, travel in a new place, whose life experience had changed and deepened in ways that were atypical for the folk back home, I remember the even deeper discomfort of not being sure how I belonged back home, which is another part of the challenge of Pentecost, experiencing these moments of transcendence when we're given assurance of our belonging and an ability to connect and communicate across differences of language and culture and place. Having experienced that, then we have to figure out how to fit it into our lives, how to take it home, how to have it make sense with the ways we live every day and the people who are our neighbors. This is also the invitation of Pentecost. The invitation of resurrection, the invitation of belonging in the body of Christ, is not only letting it change us, but taking that change with us as we go back to our ordinary, as we interact with our family or our neighbors or our coworkers or classmates. We take the ways that we've changed and we have to continue to fit it in. This makes a new experience of discomfort and uncertainty and change. Which is why this year on Pentecost, though I'm still grateful for that beautiful story that's included in Acts chapter 2, that account of the transcendent moment where tongues as if a fire came and rested on those followers of Jesus, giving them the ability to speak in languages they didn't know how to speak so that they could be heard in the languages of the other people there. Though I still love that story, that moment, that occasion of transcendent, mysterious, miraculous connection, this year I'm really grateful also for the Gospel of John. For this description of the Holy Spirit, that in John's telling of the story of the Good News is described as paraclete, as one who walks alongside as God calls, as advocate or comforter or helper. The Holy Spirit is our companion for the long journey. As we go out to experience new things, as we connect with neighbors or strangers or enemies and let them change us, and as we return home to bring that gift back into our lives, the paraclete, the advocate, the Holy Spirit is our companion, there in solidarity with us, in ongoing presence, not giving up. Reminding us that the transformation of God doesn't happen only or primarily in stunning moments of revelation, but in the long work of figuring out how to do this thing, how to follow Jesus, how to let forgiveness be our habit, how to practice compassion for everyone we encounter, how to be comfortable with humility, willing to learn and ready for an encounter that allows us to see God in a way we had never been able to see before, in someone we'd not yet met, in a language we don't speak well, in culture and practice and habits we don't know. The invitation of the Holy Spirit is to this continual work. And in a moment in the life of the world where it feels like we are fragmented and separated, set up to be rivals across national borders and political lines, rivals based on the algorithm the social media tells us to follow as we live in our own separate spheres, we remember that the gift of the Holy Spirit is with us and has been and will be revealing a deeper belonging. I love the chant that y'all sang for us, that we danced together this morning, that reminds us that our unity is already given. Our belonging together is already ours as a gift of God. And it's up to us to recognize and live into that. That although we're breaking down the barriers our culture has set up, there's an even deeper truth of our mutuality that already undergirds all of these efforts. I was reading again the work of Barbara Holmes, whose work on race and cosmos draws from our increasing understanding of the cosmos, of astrophysics, of everything we understand of what is in the world, to rearticulate our faith. In our study of the world beyond this planet, this solar system, this galaxy, increasingly points us toward the uncomfortable revelation of incredible diversity and somehow belonging together in the midst of it all. The further we pull back from our planet, the more easy it is to see how we are already belonging together on this planetary sphere, how our descriptions of separation are a construct of our attempts to make sense of life, but how we already belong together on this fragile planet. But we don't have to turn to the astrophysicists to understand that. It's also a revelation in our scriptures and through God that we belong together in the body of Christ, that we belong together, that we are knit together as if part of the same body, those who share in the same common life. Our unity is already given as a gift. And the invitation of the Holy Spirit this Pentecost is to recognize that we belong with and for each other. Barbara Holmes says that our attempts to describe beloved community often feel like we're trying to hot glue disparate parts together so that they might hold. But by stepping back, by holding the whole of this wondrous cosmos, the whole of the gifts of our Holy Spirit, we recognize that it's not dependent on our hot glue to hold all this together. It simply already is. And that our invitation is to be people who honor that, who work with it, not against it, who see the flourishing of our neighbors and strangers and even our enemies as consequential to the flourishing of ourselves. The invitation this Pentecost is to do the uncomfortable and beautiful work of learning from one another how to be together, how life can flourish with all of us together. And so we pray, come Holy Spirit, not because we need the Spirit to arrive, because she's been absent, but because we need to recognize in ourselves the Holy Spirit's presence here all along, to accept the advice of our advocate, to receive the blessing of our comforter, to walk alongside the paraclete as we live life into the fullness, the beauty, the wonder, and the diversity of this life we share. May it be so. Amen.